I was in Rochester for a funeral. After the funeral and burial, I went for a short walk in the cemetery, and as I was just walking by myself, just reflecting a little bit, I was looking at all of the different tombstones that were there in the cemetery. And the thought had come across my mind is that our Lord shed every drop of his precious blood for each and every one of these individuals. How much love does God have for us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he gave us everything, everything that he could possibly give to show us how much he loves us. Our Lord could have redeemed us simply by just one drop of his precious blood. That precious blood he shed at the circumcision 8 days after he was born, that would have been sufficient to redeem our entire world, all mankind. Even simply just an act of the will, a simple fiat of Almighty God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would have been enough to redeem us. But that was not enough for the love of our Lord and the Sacred Heart for us. Our Lord wanted to give us every proof of how much he loves each and every one of us, and how much our salvation means to him. So when we go to Calvary and we see our Lord hanging upon the cross, we see him suffering so much agony for love of us. We see how he shed drops of blood as they flow down his arms and fall to the ground. Our Lord loves us with a great love. After our Lord had died upon the cross, the soldiers came and they first went to the two individuals who were crucified with our Lord. The two individuals crucified with our Lord were still living. So what they did was they broke their knees. When you break the knees of somebody who is crucified, they're no longer able to support the weight of their body by their feet. So then they're only hanging by their hands. As they're hanging by their hands, there's so much stress upon the lungs that they suffocate. That's one of the great pains of crucifixion, is that one who is crucified, they go between feelings like they're suffocating, because they're hanging from their hands, the pushing off on their feet, and feeling such agony in their feet where they're nailed to the cross. But when the soldiers came to our Lord, they didn't break his knees, they didn't break his legs at all, because he was already dead. But the soldier, one of the soldiers, took a lance and pierced the side of our Lord, and outflowed the precious blood from his Sacred Heart, every last drop for you and I. And my dear friends in Christ, when we go to confession, we go to confession and have our sins forgiven. It's by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that our souls are cleansed from sin. The guilt of sin is washed away, is cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should think about that when we do go to confession. That we should go to confession as if this was my last confession. As if this was the last time I was ever going to go to confession. And certainly, with sorrow for our sins and firm purpose of amendment, knowing that it's by the precious blood of our Lord that flowed from the side, from his Sacred Heart when he was unhealthy, that cleanses me of my sins. When we receive Holy Communion, when you receive Holy Communion, you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right, the body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So as laity, you only receive under one form. You receive under the form of bread, or the appearance of bread. But you're still receiving our Lord whole and entire. You're still receiving his body, blood, soul, and divinity. The priest receives under both forms. That is, under the form of bread and under the form of wine, or chalice. And that is because it signifies the shedding of blood. That signifies the sacrifice. For when you come to Mass, you're coming to the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. The Mass is the same sacrifice as Calvary, except it is unbloody. Our Lord shed all of his blood for once and for all on the cross. But when you come to Mass, you're coming to the unbloody renewal of the Holy Sacrifice of Calvary. So what thoughts should fill our heart when we go to confession? What thoughts should fill our heart when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion? And on this occasion, today's feast is the feast of St. James. St. James the Greater. And that's why we have red vestments on, and there's the red tabernacle veil. The prayers for today's Mass are found on July 25th under the Feast of St. James the Greater. And I thought that the question come to mind is, why is St. James called the Greater? Because we have two apostles, St. James the Greater and St. James the Less. And I've heard some different stories or different accounts. One account was that St. James the Greater was taller, so they needed some way to distinguish between the tall James and the short James. And I heard another case where they called him St. James the Greater because he was older than St. James the Less. But St. James was one of the beloved three of the 12 apostles. St. James, along with St. John the Evangelist, his brother, and St. Peter, were taken up on Mount Tabor with our Lord, and they got to see our Lord transfigured before him. Our Lord, when he was transfigured, his face shined as bright as the sun, and his garments were as white as snow. This was enough to help strengthen these three apostles, because shortly after that, they were to see our Lord undergo another type of transfiguration, and that is our Lord's suffering in the agony in the garden. They've seen our Lord suffer so much. They've seen him sweat blood in the garden. So they certainly needed to be strengthened by the earlier transfiguration that they've seen. But what happened to St. James after our Lord ascended into heaven? Where did he go? What did he do? What was the work in which he went forth to do? After our Lord ascended into heaven, St. James went to Spain, and he labored there, and he worked there, helped bring the people of that area to a knowledge of Christ. He went there to help convert the people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what happened? St. James met with much resistance. He did not have much success. So, and it is said that he only baptized 7 individuals in his work in Spain. How disappointing would that seem? How discouraging would that seem? You're an apostle, one of the chosen ones of Christ, and you're not able to help bring anybody to Christ in this area in which you're laboring. You can think that it would be a temptation to discouragement, but that's certainly not the case at all, because God looks at our efforts. He looks at what efforts we put forth. If God, in his providence, sees that success in our results is good for us, he will grant the success. It says in Scripture that Paul planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. So what may seem to be a reason for discouragement, and what had happened with only baptizing 7 individuals, should rather be a lesson to us. That we should put forth the effort every day to do the little things well, to fulfill our religious duties, and that we should strive with all our heart to love God more, to know and to do his will, to serve him. Because if we do that, God will bless us. If he knows that it's good for us, there will be many good results that follow. There will be success that follows. But if things do not go the way we want them to go, if things don't go the way we want them to go in our spiritual life, our family life, our work life, whatever it might be, don't become discouraged. Don't become downhearted. Make an act of confidence and trust in our Lord and save your heart. If success is good for you, he will grant you success. Consider what happened to St. James. He left Spain and he went back to Jerusalem. While he was in Jerusalem, Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great, the one who slaughtered the innocents at the time of the birth of our Lord, Herod Agrippa beheaded St. James. St. James was the first apostle to suffer martyrdom for the love of Christ. Even though he had what seemed to be little success in Spain, God seemed in his providence to allow him to be the first apostle to lay down his life for the love of our Lord. And what happened after that? Where St. James' body was laid to rest, many people came. They came all over to come to the tomb of St. James. In fact, they actually built roads through the countries to lead just to his tomb, because there are so many people making pilgrimages to St. James' tomb. And many conversions happened from there. Many miracles were worked. So what seemed to be little success in the life of St. James, God used after his death, after his martyrdom, he brought forth so many conversions, so much good on this earth. So let us not be discouraged. Let us not be discouraged when we don't attain the success or the results that we desire. But let us trust in our Lord. Let us trust what St. James has done as well. But on this occasion, as I said, we're in the last Sunday of July. Throughout the whole month of July, we've been praying those special prayers after Mass in honor of the precious blood of Jesus. So when we go to confession, when we receive Holy Communion, let us think of what our Lord has done for love of us. He's given us the greatest proofs of his great love for us. So let us never, ever compromise in our spiritual life. Let us never put ourselves under an occasion of sin, or put ourselves somewhere in the danger of falling into sin. You were redeemed at a great price. You were not redeemed with gold or silver or the blood of a goat or the blood of a calf. Each and every one of us was redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. the name of the Father and the Son,